So glad. So we're going to do a duo here, and we did not speak, so this ought to be interesting.
I love it. It's improv.
It's improv. We can only hope there's laughs in this. And so what I know is that right now we're celebrating what we call Christmas, and the Christ consciousness is in our center, is what we honor, and that Christ consciousness is love. It is divine love. And one of the things, and I've said this so many times because it stuck with me so deeply, was when Swami S. was here, Lisa's teacher, Swami Sarvadevananda. It took me a long time to learn how to
Sarvadevananda.
Did I do it wrong already? Oh, God. So much. I need more practice. Anyway, I asked him. He was here at Easter, and he was talking about that Jesus came and brought love. And afterwards, I said, well, what did Krishna bring and Buddha bring and all of the great saints and teachers? And he said, oh, the message has always been love. And so what I know for sure is love is in every religion, and yet there religion has no, and yet love has no religion. And so I pass this on to you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's so much the truth. And like Pamela was saying about how, you know, it doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter which God you worship. It's all the same. It's all beautiful. And they're all saying the same thing. So I just thought I'd talk about how, like, in our human form, what do we think of as the highest love? And a lot of times people say, oh, unconditional love. Unconditional love is the highest love. But there is a higher love than unconditional love. Because with unconditional love, that's saying that you love them no matter what, right? So in order to have unconditions, you have to have conditions. In order to have conditions, you have to see conditions. Divine love does not see conditions. Divine love is the highest love because it's accepting and nurturing and encouraging, and it sees everyone as the same, and everyone is beautiful, and everyone is that same light within. And there's a story from the Ramayana. So the Ramayana is a story set in India, like the Bhagavad Gita was years before, but after Krishna came, then Ram came. Ram is another avatar, a messenger, God incarnate, okay? So Ram was on this earth as a human being, and he and his wife Sita were deeply, deeply, deeply in love. Well, Ravana, the bad guy, was jealous and wanted Sita for himself. So he kidnapped Sita, took her away. Ram had to try to get Sita back, and Ravana wouldn't give her back. So, of course, a big war ensued, all this commotion, everything's going on. Ravana starts losing. Ravana gets the bright idea. Okay, I'm going to call my brother, who's even an eviler guy than I am. So he calls his brother up, and he says, kill Ram. Go kill Ram. And his brother says, well, why do you want me to do that? You know, I don't want to kill a god. You know, that's like the worst thing you could do. And he said, because I want Sita for myself. He said, well, you have Sita. You kidnapped her. You have Sita to yourself. What's the problem? He said, Sita doesn't want me. She only wants Ram. So if Ram's out of the picture, she's going to want me, right? The guy said, nah, that's not a good enough reason. He said, look, if Sita only wants Ram, why don't you, Ravana, since you're such this, you know, evil magician type of guy, why don't you turn yourself into Ram? Just become Ram, and so that she'll fall in love with you. And he said, I tried that, but it didn't work. And he said, what happened? He said, when I became Ram, I loved everybody equally. I didn't just love Sita. I loved everybody the same. I saw everybody the same. I saw all women as my mother. So he said that didn't work. That's how God loves. God loves whether it's he, she, it, universal energy, whatever name we call God, Buddha, Jesus, Krishna, you know, Ram, any of the names, God loves everyone the same. God doesn't see conditions. He sees a rose, and he doesn't see a rose and a thorn. He sees all just one beautiful, perfect thing, not separate from anything else.
And you know, this is so true. And I go back to Rumi. Rumi was such a love poet. I mean, he did so many things. And he actually, people credit other people with this, but he is the one that said, there is a field of right or wrong, and I'll meet you in the middle. And also, when I'm sure so many of us here, because we are who we are, is we've had that divine spark all of a sudden. And I always say this happened to me when I was 11, where I knew I was in the ocean, and I knew that I was the ocean, the sand, the sun, the sea, the salt, everything, and that we were all connected by this one love, so to speak. And it changed my whole life. It's been my whole mission ever since, to prove that everything in this world is connected. And we now know that the breath of God is always breathing all of us, but that we're still breathing Krishna's air today. We're still, nothing dies. It always is right here. We're still breathing Jesus's breath and everything else. And Jesus, by the way, I've been reading all these documentaries and watching all these documentaries. Does anybody want to know where Jesus's lost years were? They weren't in a dry up clinic. No, they were in India. And there is so much proof of this. And what did they call him? Yosef. Isa.
ISSA.
Yeah, Isa. They called him Isa, which is Jesus in American. And what it means is the Christ. It means that. And there's so much proof in temples that are written on tablets. Yeah. And there's one guy, Norvovich, I want to say, went down in the early 1800s and found a book where they talk about this guy, mm-hmm. and Isa, and he had all the same qualities as the Buddha. He walked on water. He took very few little food and handed out to all the people. He rose people from the dead. He did miracles, and all of these things are what the Christ came back here. Jesus came back here to teach. And what was so different about Jesus's teachings, and what really ripped, you know, all apart when he came back with the Jews, was that his philosophy, his teachings, were now all about love. Wherever he came, that was his message. And that it was, Jewish law was nothing like this at all. I pass this on to you.
Yeah. And, you know, I also remember how Pamela was saying that when we get treatment, it's like health, relationships, finance, those are the big thing. And, you know, relationships is a big thing. But there's always one solution. Don't see two, see one. Whenever we think of a relationship, we think, oh, this is my mother, I'm a daughter, she's a mother, this is my son, he's my son, I'm the mother, or I'm the sister and the brother, or the husband and the wife, or the whatever. That implies, in relationship itself, the word implies that there's two. There's some one thing related to another thing. But what relationships are all about is showing us who we are. By knowing who we are, we know who the other person is, and we see the God within that person. We are in truth one person, not two, but one. We are not many, but one. If we can get to that point, and I think that's what spiritual treatment helps us do, and prayer and meditation, it helps us to get to that space where we don't feel separate, where we don't see my problems, your problems, this problem in this country, that problem in that country. Oh, has nothing to do with me. No, it has everything to do with all of us. because we're all one. We're all in it together. That is divine love.
And in that divine love, when you change your thinking, it changes not only your life, but everybody's life around you. It truly does. So when you come from that place of, it's not as, I love this, when you come from that place of higher divine love, seeing the love in everybody and knowing that within yourself, and that's where it all starts. Who do you have to love first? You have to love the divine within you before you can express it. How would you know it unless you knew it within you? And so that's where it comes from, and that's how you have to express it in that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like, so many of us feel like, oh, I'm broken, or I have such this past, and I have trauma and my childhood and all this stuff, you know? And we can't let that define us, because this is where we all come from, you know? Jesus was born in a barn, okay? Like, Jesus was born in a manger in the hay amongst the animals. You know, have you ever been to like a real barn? It's not this angelic like the nativity. It stinks, okay? There's animals in there and everything. It's not the nicest place to be born. Krishna was born in a jail cell, a dank, dark jail cell. And in order to save the baby's life, the parents had to arrange to have him kidnapped out of the jail cell, or they were going to kill the child. The lotus is probably one of the most beautiful flowers, and the story behind the lotus is that, well, it rests upon the water and looks really gorgeous. If you look down deep, the root goes down deep into the mud, the sludge, the slime. It has its roots in like the yucky stuff, and yet it can rise above and become the lotus. There's one song, Vito and I wrote, Lotus in the Pond, where the lotus rests above the pond, unwetted by the water. That means like untouched by the chaos of the exterior world. And it blooms so beautifully. And that's how all of us can be. Doesn't matter where we came from. We don't even know our past lives, but I'm one that believes we have reincarnation. We have all these past lives. We probably had past lives that were way worse than this one. We are so, so blessed to be born in a human body. We need to make best use of this vehicle in this life. And how do you make best use of this vehicle in this life? Love. Love, love, love. Love the one you're with. Love everybody. Yeah.